Election Night Coverage 2024 on American Family Radio. AFA President Tim Wildman, Vice President Ed Vitagliano, News Director Fred Jackson.
Wesley will be here. Walker will be here.
And the American Family News team bring you election returns and analysis from a Christian perspective.
We'll be up here for 5 or 6 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. On election night beginning at 6 Central, it's Election Night Coverage 2024 on American Family Radio. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm sitting across the table from my beautiful wife, Debbie, and she is here in the studio with me. Wednesday's kind of her day to grace us with her presence. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate that, Debbie.
Jeff, you're more than welcome.
Well, the people that I talk to that listen to Real Truth for Today, they say, Pastor Jeff, we really like your program, but we really like it when Debbie is on.
Mm-hmm. I pay those people.
So you are a fan favorite. So today we want to talk about certain truths in uncertain times. Certain truths in uncertain times. Now, everybody is talking election, 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 election. And listen, we have election fears, election fatigue, election fraud.
Election nausea.
That's going on. Well, I had all F's. And then election fighting. What do you do in your family if you have, you have a family get together and some are Trump supporters and some are Harris Walls supporters. Some are, as Joe Biden called us, garbage. Mm-hmm. And then some are the wonderful people that want law and order. And I'm being facetious.
I wonder what side you fall on.
Yes. So, certain truths in uncertain times. Isaiah 43 is such a great passage of scripture. I give Isaiah 43, I share that with many, many people who are going through difficult times, whether it be a death in the family or whether it be a major surgery that they're facing. A dear member of our church, his son had open heart surgery, and I shared this verse with him, and he said, thank you. I shared that with my son, Michael, and it really ministered to him. Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, and I love you. I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I preached a sermon years ago on that passage and emphasizing about God's answer for our fears. And let's face it, many people today are very afraid. On both sides of the aisle, they're afraid of what will happen on November 5th. Now, conservatives, Joe Biden calls us garbage. We are dealing with the fear of another 4 years of this train wreck that we got going on right now. 79% of people polled said they believe that we're on the wrong track as a nation. Elon Musk says, hey, if this thing goes the wrong direction, we probably won't ever get to vote again. It'll be a one-party state. They'll just flood the decks with illegals that they make citizens without the proper channels, and they get them to vote for whatever Democrat, whatever sock puppet is going to run the next time. So we do have fears. Obviously, the left has the fear that how in the world Donald Trump is a fascist. I had a friend of mine that actually believes that. I guess he's listening to too much CNN, but he actually believes that Donald Trump is a fascist. And if we elect Donald Trump, he's going to arrest all his opponents, and he's going to bring an end to democracy. And this will be they feel like this will be the last election. And so cheating is off the chain right now. And so those four F's, election fears, election fatigue, we hear so much about it, election fraud, we'll talk more about that, and election fighting in a family, and fighting the left versus the right. So, Debbie, I know you're one that deals with, you deal with election fears and election fatigue.
Yes.
And you get mad when I play too many videos.
The fatigue really gets me. In fact, the other morning, I think it was even fairly early in the morning, I said to you, Shreve, you're going to have to put in your ear pods. I've already reached my absolute bandwidth on what I can listen to Kamala Harris speak this morning. I just can't listen to it anymore. And so, yeah, there is, we talked about this when we were on our vacation this past week, and that is that the rational part of my brain understands that fearing those things is futile. It is a direct affront against the Lord, because he's sovereign and in control of all those things.
Right.
And my rational brain knows that. And I'm thankful that my rational brain knows that. But then there is just the irrational part of me that goes on my feelings, not on truth and not on fact. And that if I focus on those things too long, it can really make me feel uneasy. And, you know, there are healthy fears that we can have. We can fear a snake. We can fear putting a paperclip into a light socket. I mean, those are healthy fears. But then there's also so many unhealthy fears that we have. And the primary healthy fear that we all need is the fear of the Lord.
Right.
That is at the cornerstone of everything is fearing the Lord. And I read a great quote in a book the other day by Richard Halverson that said this: men who fear God face life fearlessly. Men who do not fear God end up fearing everything. And that really spoke to me, because it's like, okay, when I start looking around at the situation in our world right now, if I don't focus in on fearing the Lord, everything that I look at here horizontally is going to be unnerving to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all a matter of the intentionality of making sure that we don't go on our feelings, we go on truth, and that is that God is over all of it. He turns the king's head any way he wants to, and he
king's heart.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking about that line from the movie where the woman, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. She turns the head any way she wants to. And it's just so true that we have to keep our focus and our eyes on the Lord, because he's the only thing that is sure, that is stable, that is unchanging. And he's in control of all of it. He has a sovereign plan in place. And his plan, regardless of cheating, regardless of ads, regardless of all these other things, his plan is not going to be thwarted. It is going to come to fruition. And I think in our humanness, when we don't know exactly how that plan's going to play out and what life may look for us in the process of that plan playing out, that's when we can start to get anxious and we get our eyes on the waves and take them off of the Lord.
Well, the scripture verse that Debbie was alluding to, Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. I don't care, you can have the whole world coming against God. We're going to see that at the Battle of Armageddon. And you can't defeat God. You're not going to beat God. And so when God has a purpose that he wants, he's going to see through. No amount, just take the election for instance, no amount of lying, no amount of cheating, no amount of stealing, no amount of violence can change the fact that this is going to happen, because thus says the Lord. Mm-hmm. The famous line from the Ten Commandments, so let it be written, so let it be done. Once the Lord says this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen. Now, the only caveat to that, you think about Nineveh, Jonah going to Nineveh. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was his message. And he probably preached more than just that short little bit, but that was the main message. God is going to bring destruction. And God is going to bring destruction to our world and to our nation. The destruction coming to America is going to be before the destruction coming to the world. But he does it because of sin, unrepentant sin. And the Lord was going to destroy Nineveh, except the people of Nineveh responded to the message. And they repented, and they cried out for mercy. And anyone who does that will receive the Lord's mercy. Anyone who turns from sin and turns to Jesus, he finds a loving, merciful Savior. It's those who don't. It's those who proudly pit themselves against the Lord. You know, God's opposed to the proud, he gives grace to the humble. When you do that, you're going to be crushed. And, you know, Jesus told the Pharisees and the religious leaders that were going back and forth with him, he was the stone that the builders rejected. He said, if anyone falls on this stone, he will be broken. But if the stone falls on you, it'll scatter him like dust. And so I've always interpreted that passage to say, hey, you and I have an opportunity to fall upon the stone, the chief cornerstone, in repentance, in contrition, in humility, in faith. And when we fall upon the stone and we surrender our lives to Jesus, he saves us. But if we don't, then the stone will fall upon you and he will crush you and scatter you like dust. And so we forget how powerful God is, and we think that we can you know, get on the same plane as God. Job was kind of like that when he was kind of getting close to demanding answers from God, like, you know, hey God, you are required to come and talk to me. Well, God doesn't owe you or me anything. He is God and we're not God. And so we need, you know, that's why Job said, hey, I repent in dust and ashes. There we go. He said, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now and I will speak. I will ask you and do you please instruct me? I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. When you do that, then God responds in mercy and grace.
Well, and I go back to just that fear of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in several passages that that's the beginning of wisdom. When you fear the Lord, that's where wisdom starts. And, you know, that wisdom is being able to take knowledge and appropriate it in such a way that you live it out. And so it's when we have that fear of the Lord that we get a proper perspective of the things that are going on in this world and how we can best walk through them. And in the midst of it, we can still have peace, we can have confidence, we can be free from fear. You know, he gives all those things to us. And I do go back to the story of Nineveh, because I have been praying that for our country for, well, close to 4 years now. And that is that if God can take that sinful city that was doomed for destruction and send revival to it, he can do that for us too.
And he takes a reluctant preacher as the leader of the revival.
Yeah, uber reluctant, right? Right? I mean, to the point where he's in the belly of a whale or a large sea beast for 3 days and nights. But he can do that if that's his will to do. And so, you know, I've just been praying for these last 4 years. It's like, Lord, you know, you tell us that we can boldly come into your throne room and make our request known. This is my request. I'm requesting that you save our country, you save our land, you bring righteousness back so that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren can grow up in freedom and in with justice. And, you know, I'm asking that. I trust you to do your will, because your will supersedes mine and your will is better than my will. you know, but I'm asking you to do that, believing with everything I am that you are more than able to do that.
Right. And it starts, revival starts with you and me as we seek the Lord, as we get right, as we humble ourselves and pray. And so let me just encourage you and you know, when I send something out like that, encourage you in this, I'm encouraging myself because, yeah, I need to pray. I need to humble myself and pray and seek His face and turn from my wicked ways and know that God will hear. You know, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And so as we cry out to God for America, God hears and God does respond. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about certain truths in uncertain times. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about certain truths in uncertain times. And, you know, anytime you get around an election, it is uncertain. I've been talking to some friends about this, and they said, you know, businesses tend to become very conservative with spending money right before an election because they don't know how things are going to go. And giving seems to kind of get pulled back with churches and ministries right around an election time. And so there are lots of uncertainties, but we have to fill our minds with the certainty of God's word, certain truths in uncertain times. And the Lord's given us His word that we can stand on. He tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The word of God is truth, and we can stand on that. We can know without any doubting in our hearts that the Lord's will is going to come to pass and that God is going to take care of us. As He says in Isaiah 43, I've called you by name, you are mine, I've redeemed you, you belong to me, and the Lord's going to take care of you, just like a good father will take care of his little children. God will take care of us.
Well, Jeff, I wanted to go back to how we kind of ended that last segment, and that was about talking about prayer. And, you know, we just had some yard signs as well as T-shirts made up for our church that say, Lord, we need you, praying for America. And I think this has just been all over Facebook the past few days. I'm not huge in social media, so I don't do X and Twitter and whatever all the other ones are. I don't even know what they are.
Instagram,
there you go. I don't do all those things, but I know that this has been TikTok. On Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, is that another one, huh?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. See, I'm very ignorant about all that stuff, and I'm okay with being ignorant about it. It doesn't affect my self-esteem at all. Anyway, there has been going around a call to prayer this coming Monday night, November the 4th at 6:00 p.m. and whatever time zone you're in. So whatever your 6 p.m. is in that time zone. And it simply says this: on Monday night, November 4th, Christians from all over the country will pause at 6:00 in their local time zones to pray for our nation. We are simply praying that God will hear our prayers and heal our land. We need a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in our country. I am personally praying for another great awakening. And, you know, the Bible promises to us over and over again, not only that God hears our prayers, but that prayer is powerful. It brings results, you know. And so I was personally challenged by this because it's like, you know, can you imagine if a concerted effort all across this country of believers uniting their hearts together in prayer specifically for the same thing, the power that has.
Right. It really does. You know, I was thinking about this as we talk about election fears. Psalm 56 is a good passage for to calm our fears. I used to tell people, and I still do, this is good to pray over your children, your little children. Little children tend to get scared at night. They have bad dreams or whatever. And so I used to pray this over my kids and teach them this. when I'm afraid, Psalm 56, verse 3, this is David. He said, when I am afraid, even a warrior, a champion like David who went up against Goliath, he got afraid. He didn't say if I'm afraid. He said, when I'm afraid. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. And so we just need to say, okay, I'm going to trust God. So when the fear comes, we're not going to beat ourselves up. Oh, I'm afraid again. I'm such a terrible Christian. I just have no faith. No, when you feel the fear comes, that's when you trust God. Okay, I'm not trusting God. I need to cast my burden on the Lord. He'll sustain me. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And say, Lord, I'm worried. I'm bothered about this. And I'm trusting you to see me through and to see our nation through, because God doesn't want to see America fall and fail. God wants to continue to use America. And, you know, anybody that is honest about history will say, well, America has been blessed by God and used by God to share the gospel around the world more than any other nation. And so we don't want that to go away. And I don't believe God wants that to go away either. Mm-hmm. He says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, do I have any pleasure in the death of those that die? No, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. And so I would encourage all our listeners Monday night at 6 o'clock. Let's do that. Let's mm-hmm. gather. Let's pray. You can't gather, but you can be at home and you can pray. Mm-hmm. Pray with your family. Gather your kids together and say, we're going to pray for America, because this is a promise. And what we have on our shirts, Lord, we need you praying for America. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, some have said, well, that's not to, you know, to Christians today. That was just to Israel. That's to God's people. We are God's people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Well, I love the part of that verse, Jeff, that you read in Psalm 56 about what can mere man do. And I think too often we're guilty of taking our eyes off the Lord and elevating mere man to having such power. And that is just a falsehood, because God is in control of all things. And yeah, I've been reading a book that's been talking a lot about the fear of the Lord. It's been a very convicting book. But one of the things that I read out of it that ministered to me so much was this statement: any unbeneficial fear in my life identifies what I haven't put under the cross. I still own that area of my life. Mm-hmm. And so, like we said, there are some healthy fears, particularly the fear of the Lord is a very beneficial and helpful fear. We know it's the beginning of wisdom. But those unbeneficial fears, those anxieties that we have that are not founded at all in the Word of God, that means that we have taken ownership of those things. We may have at one time laid them down at the foot of the cross, but we've picked them right back up.
Right.
And we haven't left them there. And so I was really convicted when I read that, just about different things in my life, particularly in this particular time period of my life, where if I think and dwell on those things, I can get anxious and worried and a little unnerved, and maybe unsettled might be a good description of how it can make me feel. And it's like, it was a good reminder, like, okay, when you start feeling those things, it's because you've taken them all back upon yourself.
Right.
Put them back at the cross and leave them there. Trust that sovereign God is a good God. He loves you. He has a plan. He has a purpose, not just for my life, but for our nation as a whole. And so we can trust him. He is completely trustworthy.
You know, and when we trust the Lord, that doesn't mean that, God, you're going to do it all. I'm not doing anything. So for instance, you need a job. You don't have a job. You need a job. And you say, well, I'm trusting God for a job. That's great. You need to trust God for a job. And you need to pound the pavement. You need to send your resume out there. You need to get in front of people. You need to do what you can do and trust God to do what you can't do. And my favorite saying, if you've listened to this program for any time at all, you've probably heard me say this: God will not do what you can do. and God,
you cannot do
yeah.
what God can do.
I used to, my favorite saying, now I can't remember it. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. And so trusting God means you get out there and do what you can do, trusting him to do what you can't do. So give an example as we relate this to the election. Oh, what can you do? You can vote. You can vote dutifully. You can vote prayerfully. You can vote biblically. Those things are critical because, as our good friend Bill Federer says, silence equals consent. And if you're going to say, well, I'm going to sit this out, as so many are supposedly, according to George Barna's research, going to do, so many Christians, I'll just sit this out. You know, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, okay, my citizenship is in heaven too. But as Robert Jeffress says, well, we're not in heaven right now. We're here. Mm-hmm. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we're sojourners here, but we are to seek the good and the welfare of the city. And one way you do that is by electing good leaders. And so we need to be involved and trust God, yes, but then do what he called you to do. And if you don't have a job, trust God for a job and work. We work like it depends on us. We trust as like it depends on God, because ultimately it does.
Right. And, you know, there's so many political ads out there right now that are just confusing, and so many people don't know what to believe because we are just lied to on every single front. And yet again, that's where the fear of the Lord comes in, because when we fear the Lord, he tells us that's where wisdom starts. And so when we are actively engaged in that and seeking after him, he keeps us from deception. He opens our eyes to things that are going on around us. And even if everyone around you it has a different thought than you have, if God has opened your eyes to truth, you have to stick with that truth. I was just having a conversation with a good friend of mine that lives in Houston the other day, and she was saying how, you know, she said, I sometimes just ask myself, am I just seeing all of this wrong? Because a lot of people that I really respect see this so differently than me. And I just told her, I said, if you are in the Word and asking God for wisdom and to give you discernment that comes just from above, even if you're the only one who believes it, you've got to stick with that,
right?
You know, and not be swayed by the other voices around you. And I think that that's another thing to really be praying for in terms of the election, is that that people's eyes would be open, because so many people have been so deceived by what we're hearing. And it's like you have to take the time to dissect these things that you hear, bring them to the Lord, and ask him to give you clarity and to give you wisdom and just supernatural discernment to know what is true and what is not true.
Well, you know, some of the things that we hear that are lies, we hear this all the time from the left. Donald Trump is a fascist. He's a fascist. He's a fascist. As I mentioned, a friend of mine who's a godly guy said, well, you know, Kamala Harris is a baby killer and Donald Trump is a fascist, so who do we choose from? Well, Donald Trump is not a fascist. And this one side American warrior for Christ, John Rackham, 82, I guess his last name's Rackham, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he said this: Donald Trump is not a fascist. Fascists are people who do this: confiscate guns, abort babies, force you to get shots and wear masks, censor you, arrest their political opposition, send mobs out to burn, loot, and murder, bring millions of military-aged males from other countries in order to destroy you. That's what a fascist does. And he said Democrats did all of the above because Democrats are the real fascists. But as I played you that clip just the other day on Monday, from a long time ago, it was a black and white clip, but it was the playbook from the communists. What do you do if you have difficult people that you're dealing with, people that are not just buying into your baloney? Then you call them names. You call them some of the worst names you can call them. You call them fascists. You call them Nazis. You call them Hitler lovers. And all the while, you call them what you yourself are and are doing. So The Democrats call the Trump supporters fascists. Trump's a fascist. If you support him, you're a fascist. And all the while, that's who they are, because they are exhibiting the characteristics of a fascist. So, certain truths in an uncertain time, in uncertain times. Well, we're going to go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And, you know, Debbie, one of the things that we haven't really talked about is the election fighting in families, because that can be very, very difficult.
Or even with a close friend, you know, that sees things completely different than you do. It can be very, very difficult. And, you know, most people don't like conflict as a rule. And so you don't want to get into some big debate with a close friend to the point where you think, oh, gosh, my friendship is worth more than this, you know. But this election is so critical, and it is so crucial. The very future of our country as we know it is going to be determined by it, right?
Right.
And so it's like, if ever there's a time to speak up and be bold as a believer about biblical truths and how they relate to how you need to vote, this is the time to do that.
Right.
This is the time. This is the hour for such a time as this. And I just think that when you get involved with your families, boy, that can really, really, really be a tough spot.
And that's why, you know, pastors will shy away from talking about anything election related because, that could bring a division in the church. And, you know, you have Republicans and you have Democrats in the church. You know, John MacArthur has gone so far to say, hey, the Democrat platform is straight out of Romans 1. The sins of Romans 1 are their platform. How could any Christian support that? Answer, you can't. You're a deceived Christian if you're a Christian at all. You can't support what they support. You can't support the killing of babies, the mutilation of adolescents, the LGBTQIA+ agenda. It's impossible for a Christian to say, yeah, that coincides with my Christian beliefs. It doesn't. It can't. And not all issues are the same. Some issues outweigh others. So when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my beautiful, wonderful wife, Debbie. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about certain truths in uncertain times. When we are afraid, we put our trust in the Lord. We get our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And we do all that he's asked us to do. Faith always has action associated with it. Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted for righteousness. And how did Abraham respond to God? He left Ur of the Chaldees and went to the land that the Lord said he would show him. He didn't even know where he was going. He went out not knowing where, it says in the book of Hebrews. God was going to show him when he got there, and God sent him to the promised land. But he never would have gotten to the promised land if he said, Lord, I believe you, and I'm going to stay here in Ur of the Chaldees. Faith always has action to it, as Martha was told by Jesus, hey, Lazarus is dead, roll away the stone. Lord, he's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. We don't want to roll away the stone. Did I not say to you, if you believe you'll see the glory of God, roll away the stone? Now, Jesus wasn't going to roll away the stone. Martha had to do that. And when they had the men roll away the stone, then Jesus did what they couldn't do and said, Lazarus, come forth. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. And we have George on the line from New Mexico. George, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Say,
yes, sir.
I have something here that is specifically, and I got to acknowledge, specifically from the King James Version Bible. I think that Trump is going to win the election, and it's in the King James Version. Now, not any others, but the King James, which is the first 1611 English Bible that we have. And the Bible at the very end says, don't mess with the wording, right? Am I right?
Yes, from the Greek.
Yeah, okay. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says specifically, in the King James, I'm saying again, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump, T-R-U-M-P, of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I think specifically, I'm not a gambler, but I would bet that Trump's going to win on that version from the King James Version, because the other Bibles say trumpet.
Yeah.
But this, the King James being the first 1611 English Bible, says trump. So somebody, either this is wrong or the new versions are wrong. But I do believe that America is going to have, either we're going to have a huge revival, because I believe what you said a while ago, America is used to get the gospel out to the whole world. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it will continue, and this is going to be the shot in the arm that America needs. And I'm just saying, because, and the reason I say that is because of what the Bible says, the King James 1611 version. I'm reading from an authorized KJV.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's all I got to say.
Okay, George. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, the word trump in the King James means trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's also out of the King James. And so the Apostle Paul, when he was inspired by God to write that to the Thessalonians and to the Corinthians, he wasn't thinking of Donald Trump. He was thinking of the last trump, the last trumpet. And the Lord, other versions take trump and they change it to trumpet, because that's exactly what that means. So I appreciate you calling in, George. Thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Brenda on the line from Florida. Brenda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff and Miss Debbie. We're so glad to listen to both of you.
I've enjoyed
listening to you for several years now. Thank you for all that you both do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I wanted to share with you that yesterday I went to vote. I wore my old hat, Trump 2020, and got some funny looks, but most people nodded their head it was line was wrapped around the building. But for a week, I'm living with my sister here and her husband. Her husband and I have been discussing all these amendments and the deceitfulness of how they're worded. And so we pursued the FRC voter guide and also the iVoterGuide.com. We're both very helpful, very helpful. But yes, we were discussing these issues, trying to draw my sister into it. And she said, nope, 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 I'm not having anything to do with it. Nope, she just refused to talk with us about it. Then I find out she hasn't voted in 15 years. And then she said, I can't get an absentee ballot. They won't give it to me. So I got online with her ID and got an absentee ballot, hoping that we could discuss what she had on her ballot. And instead, she did it in secret. She didn't want to discuss anything with us. And so Jim and I were both looking at each other going, what's going on? Okay, we're going to do our part and let God take care of the rest. So, and then I had prayer partner. When I sent her some information about things to pray for our election, she said, please, this is a prayer line. We don't get involved in politics. And I sent her a very nice note that said, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that. If that upsets you, I said, but to say that we can't get involved in politics is like saying a Christian cannot be a disciple of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because we are his stewards of our families, of our churches, and God created the institution of government. We have to be involved. I said, no wonder our country has fallen.
That's
I never heard from her again. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right, Brenda. I mean, we have to be involved. If we're going to do what the Lord says and told those people in Jeremiah 29 that were exiled in Babylon, seek for the welfare of the city. And so that meant, obviously, they didn't get to vote in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was the king. But when you're in a constitutional republic like we have in America, one of the privileges and one of the duties is you must vote. And, I mean, people in other countries, they'd give their right arm to be able to vote, to have a voice, to vote for a leader that's going to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to bring law and order and do the things that government's supposed to do. Romans chapter 13 tells us the role of government. So, It's a sad day when people see it like that.
Well, I think, too, so many people have been deceived by the enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. They have been deceived into thinking that their vote doesn't count, or that they just have been deceived into just absolute complacency. You know, and so that is just from the enemy, that we just, our vote doesn't count, that what does this really matter? You know, I don't really care about this. I'm just going to live my life. If this doesn't have a direct bearing on me at this very moment in time, I'm not going to get out and vote. What does it matter anyway? You know, and so it is absolutely imperative that believers speak up and speak out. We have been silent for entirely too long. And that is what has gotten us to where we are today. That's because right. We have right. abdicated our responsibilities under God to do what he's called us to do, and that is to be active in this world and to be a light and a witness for him. And one of the ways we do that is by voting in a godly fashion.
Well, we Christians get concerned about, you know, raising their kids and doing, you know, doing their jobs and being good citizens and obeying the law. And we kind of tune out politics because it's just that's nasty business or whatever. But if you don't get involved in that, politics makes a big difference in how things work and how things run. And if you leave it to the devil's crowd, well, that's what you're going to get. Evil policies, and that's what we have going on in America. You know, the drain the swamp that Trump made famous, that little saying in 2016, I don't think anybody realized how deep and wide the swamp is. And just like people have been reporting, busloads of illegals wearing Harris Walls t-shirts are being escorted to the front of the line, cutting in front of Americans who have been standing in line for hours to vote. They cut them into the front of the line, people that seem to speak no English, and let them vote. Well, it's obvious, you know, from an onlooker that this there's something wrong about that. Mm-hmm. And so if law enforcement is doing that, something is seriously wrong, because everybody is against truth and justice and law and order at that point.
Well, and then just how warped our different organizations are. Our daughter posted something online the other day that they this lady had gone on Alexa and said, "Oh, yeah. Alexa, tell me why should I vote for Trump?" And Alexa was like, "We don't get involved and we can't make a stance one way or the other on a political issue, blah, blah, blah." Well, then she waited. She asked Alexa again, "Alexa, tell me why I should vote for Kamala Harris." Well, these are the reasons you should vote for her. She's the, you know, she has been very successful.
She worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, you know, she's the first
she's the first
black vice president. And it's like, what on earth? It's like, how can people not see how rigged and slanted all of this is? You know, and I mean, these are documented things that are not made up.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody posted, you know, you can watch the Hunger Games and see that, hey, we join the resistance because the government is corrupt. Mm-hmm. And we can see that very clearly when we're watching a movie, but when we're living it out, mm-hmm. we can't see it at all. Oh, no, the government would never lie to us. They'd never do anything that would harm us. Man, wake up and smell the coffee. Well, thank you, Brenda, for calling in. We have Ryan on the line from Oklahoma. Ryan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you. I just want to say three things. You know, if somebody gets in the Oval Office and tries to be a dictator, our founding fathers set up our government to keep that from happening. You know, we have the Oval Office, we have the executive office, we have the judicial office, and we got the legislators. I think that probably won't ever happen in that. And then another thing is these Christians out here, they say they're not going to vote for any candidate because they don't like them. Well, I'm voting. The main reason I'm voting is not for me. It's for my six granddaughters. I don't want them to ever have to experience some boy thinking he's a girl with all the boy parts and be in the same bathroom or locker room and all that with them. So that will, you know, that's why I'm voting. And then the third thing is, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. You've changed my life. You and Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, Dr. Jeremiah, Dr. Jeffries, all you. I listen to you guys every morning. I drive a truck, and I really appreciate everything what AFR does.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening, and thanks for that testimony and for calling in today. Well, we have Yanni on the line from Arkansas. Yanni, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for, like the previous caller, thank you for everything that you guys do. I've been listening to you guys for almost 17 years. Actually,
wow.
From Dan Sirius, he was my mentor. I'm always excited when I talk to you guys. This is a good platform to talk about those things. Well, my first thing, it's I grew up in Romania. You guys probably know, you got missionaries over there,
mm-hmm.
In the old days, in the 80s and 90s, after the communists fell. My first thing is, I would love to, for the Christians that they say that they not wanted to vote, I would encourage them to go, because we don't, like the previous caller said, we don't do it for ourselves, we do it for our grandkids, for the next generation. And if we don't do that now, then we can... later on, we're going to regret it, because human beings, we live with regret sometimes if we don't do what God called us to do in that particular subject. And I say communists, they're very smart. They will give you a few hundred dollars here, $25,000 here, because they're buying their way in. I lived it. I'm only 50, and I lived it. And I want to encourage people in the United States, don't let this country go down like that. Fight for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, you know it very, very well, how it works, and then what happens when they seize power. The useful idiots are not, they don't need them anymore, and those that thought they were doing good, they realize, hey, I was playing for the wrong team. We need to pray. We need to vote. We need to trust God. And so As we do that, the Lord promises to answer, and we can walk without fear because God will see us through anything that happens. Whatever happens on November the 5th, the Lord is going to see us through. So Yanni, thanks for the call. Steve in Texas, I'm sorry we didn't get to you. Ann in Ohio and Frank in Kentucky, but thank you guys for calling in. We are out of time, and thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. So go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray that God's will would be done in America in this election. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.